congratulations. You're a person in their 30s who survived Halloween.
I did not do anything on Halloween.
You didn't do anything? What'd you do? Not just nothing.
I was going to trick or treat with my little nephew, but I just wasn't feeling very well. Anyways, that's the story of my Halloween. But how was yours, my friend? I saw some very cute pictures of you on the internet.
Oh, thank you. Yes, our Halloween was super, super fun. It's so sad because, like, I feel like, man, like, all these blocks are so dead, man. Like, hardly anybody decorated.
I
know for a fact there's tons and tons of kids that live on this street.
Yeah.
So Ella and I, you know, we've got, like, a pretty choice corner spot, you know? Mm-hmm, so we wanted to decorate. So we decorated. And then, you know, around like 4:45, we were like, "Ah, we decorated last year too, and nobody came by. I think we're just gonna sit on the corner." So we're like, "Okay, we'll just sit on the corner. We put some chairs and a table, mm-hmm. and we're like, and we'll have dinner outside. Beck and Alan are coming over. Blah blah blah. And we'll hand out candy and really firmly establish and show like we are a house that is handing out candy, children. Ha ha, and parents mainly. So Becca comes over and Becca brings like the best 4-person adult costume, which is 4 hungry, hungry hippos.
Oh my gosh, that is so great. Did the kids today even know about hungry, hungry hippos?
You know, that was also part of the fun, wasn't it? Guessing, like asking which kids, do you know what this is? And they're like, what is happening? They're like, Angry Birds? So we had a green hippo, a pink hippo, a yellow hippo, and an orange hippo. And then we also, you know, Ella got a lot of food together. Becca made mashed potatoes and brought it over. And so we're all sitting in costume on the corner. And then it clicks, like, oh my God, we are the hungry, hungry hippos. We're sitting around a table,
oh my God,
eating dinner, handing out candy as if the act of the meal itself was proof of our character commitment.
Dude, that is so cool. You like accidentally made it so meta. Whoa.
Like, you were like, yes, I know.
I hope just like one person like walked by and was like, yeah.
No, they're like, well, because also, Hannah, like the way the hat is shaped is that if you're looking down, it really sells the hippo factor. Like I sent you a picture of Alan and a picture of Ella, like at the table, and if you're looking down, it really sells the hippo factor, the hungry, hungry hippo factor. And so, like, we were all looking down at our plates, which really looks like just 4 hippos sitting there eating dinner. You know?
Wow. So you like accidentally won Halloween, basically, is what you're telling me.
We participated at all, and that was fun. It was great. I mean, it was great compared to last year. It was great. I loved it. It was great.
Man, yeah. I just feel like October just like flew by. I didn't even.
It's just such a good month, you know?
Yeah, I wish I had slowed down and enjoyed it more. But
I love it, man. Spooky season.
I love it. And also, you know, someone's birthday.
I know. Now November is here. Yeah, birthday.
Dude, congratulations to you, my friend, on being alive. From a biological standpoint, you are succeeding 1,000%.
Thank you. Happy birthday to me. I'm 35, and it beats the alternative, I'll tell you that much, you know?
So true. So could not put it better myself, my friend.
So it was good. Okay, but should we do it, man? Should we just like get into
it?
I can lead the way.
Let's do it because we've been avoiding this. And it's time to attach ourselves.
It is time to attach ourselves to understanding attachment.
Mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I've got a little outline here that I'm looking at. Ahem. Ahem. Uh-oh, that's not it. That's just a totally different document. God, you remember what it was like before we had so much connectivity for productivity? Man.
Oh, man, yeah, just like emailing things.
Yeah, man.
That was it. Yeah. That was it, really. I don't know how any business functioned before.
You know what?
But they did, which is very telling, right?
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. That is what I was about to say. Okay, so we today here at Analyze This are going to be diving into the topic of attachment theory, which is a really fascinating topic and one that Hannah and I, we've been dragging our feet on, you know?
Yeah, probably because it's gonna be very revealing.
Sure. But we love revelations.
We do. We like getting into the stuff.
We do. So, Hannah, before I read the definition of attachment theory, you want to take a stab at it?
Sure. Okay. I would say attachment theory is...
Full disclosure, by the way, I spent like an hour going through bureaucratic hoops with Medi-Cal today. So it's 5:30 and I'm having a gin and soda.
Oh, well, you've earned it, my friend. My God.
I think so, too.
Yeah. Oh,
I was on the phone.
Wish I had a drink.
I had 3 phone calls that went nowhere.
Oh, God.
But they went somewhere. They did. They went somewhere. You know why? Because I took the first step in solving the problem, which was to start. So, check.
My friend, that is... for me, that is the hardest part, and I'm very impressed.
Especially
because when you said on the phone with Medi-Cal, if I had testicles, they would have like shriveled up inside of my body, because I just know that is so unpleasant.
I know, man. Like... Oh no, I've been dragging my feet on it for like 2.5 months, and I have a co-commander here, Becca, who has made the on ramp so approachable. Mm-hmm. So without her existence, I think I would have been like, my, yes, unsolvable. I cannot do anything
I
at all.
I did try to do it, but for what?
Yes,
which is covered California's open enrollment right now, everybody, just in case you need
if you're uninsured, man, I'm looking at, so all of the doctors that my mom feels comfortable seeing are not, no longer a part of the Medi-Cal system, which is unfortunate. Get the dude, just so you know, I missed the recurring patient deadline it was a 3-year window so that the group would continue to take Medi-Cal patients. And it was up in May.
Oh,
I know. So I had to hear that information and continue trying to problem solve.
Oh my God. First of all, that sentence is so confusing to me.
I know. I think one of the ways I survived the conversation, though, was by pacing. And I took one hand and I just kept waving it around, you know?
Oh.
Like, I don't have to make this awful. I'm going to pace back and forth and just keep doing it and just keep doing it. And wow, if we had called in May, we would have a different result. Okay. La, la, la. That is fine. I'm still going to try and continue on. Ha, ha, ha. He, he, he. La, la. But so yeah, now I'm having a 5:30, a light little sody, and I feel proud of myself. I'm not gonna lie, you know.
Yeah, buddy.
But I felt bad for a while, but now I feel proud and happy because I'm talking to my best friend and recording our podcast.
Oh, I'm happy to talk to you, buddy. Yeah, cause I know that I personally, if I was like, oh, it was up in May, I should have known that. If I was a good person and organized, I would have looked at it. So, I don't know. But I'm like, how are you supposed to
all
know
those
that?
Thoughts are there. Oh, 100%. Tell me about it, right? Yeah, 100%. That was the tidal wave my learned consciousness wanted to inflict upon me. Mm-hmm. For sure. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I'm not going to let that happen, man.
No.
Going to stay present.
Yeah.
I went and picked a lemon off the tree.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, picked a lemon off the tree, sniffed this lemon, was like, whatever, man, fuck it, it's not fair. Yeah. I sure know that. Yep.
Yep. And you are a lovely expression of the cosmos, and that is like existed for so much longer than fucking American healthcare.
See, but I can't go to, but see, I wish that the meta was helpful to me, but it's not. Like, I have to be grounded in the present, because if I go up to the meta, it takes me closer to my, wow, Hannah, why didn't you, wow, Hannah, you should have called in May if you hadn't been dragging your feet on this, la la. Like, the meta takes me there. It does, like, cosmic oneness. I'm not healed enough yet for all things to not be, like my meta is negative.
Oh, God, yeah.
It's oblivion, not oneness. Right, the void. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I can't soothe myself with that. So I go down instead, you know?
Well, that's it's like, that's very wise, my friend.
It's not really wisdom. It's just more like a fact, because in the past I've had therapists and like people and like I'll be like, well, you just got to remember that this is all part of life's la la la. And I'm like, this isn't working for me. And then my real therapist who works with people like me was like, nope, opposite. That's going to take you closer to your animal brain. And guess what? Your animal brain is the part that's like, you know, so she's like, you got to get grounded. What do you like? And I'm like, the color yellow. What do you mean? What do I like? But like literally during this conversation, she's like, so get something yellow. Look at it. Do you have yellow things? And I was like, well, actually, I have a lemon tree. And she's like, go look at the lemon tree. Pick the lemon tree. Touch it with your hands. Like, go away from oblivion, because it's like, it doesn't soothe me. It doesn't bring me back into my life, which is mine, you know? Which is so antithetical to what I was told in the past. So it goes to show that if your therapy process isn't working, it's not you. It's the process. There's lots of options.
There's so many kinds of therapy out there and so many therapists.
And so many styles.
So many styles. And also they're like learning new stuff all the time.
Hannah.
What?
Speaking of styles,
Harry Styles,
let's talk about different styles of attachment.
Let's do it.
Oh my God, I'm so thrilled. Okay, great. We're going to talk about the different types of attachment and introduce ourselves into attachment right after this.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Annie Gelby, give me a, what do you think attachment is? What do you think when we talk about, quote unquote, attachment, what do you think we're talking about? What is attachment?
I think it is a broad term that it describes your behavior and reactions and responses to connecting with others resulting from your childhood experiences. Usually, like, I would say your attachment style is, it's like, start it, forgive me, I'm very tired. It starts when you're very small. It's what you learn, and then it kind of follows you into adulthood. And then you get to spend your adulthood sorting that shit out.
Yes, basically. Yes, that is exactly correct. That is pretty much what we're talking about. So in specifics, we're talking about this idea of attachment theory, which two psychologists and a psychiatrist developed in 1951. So it's probably bullshit. But... the headline of attachment theory is that very young children who fail to develop close and secure emotional bonds with a caregiver will experience behavioral problems in life. That's why I think that is bullshit, because I actually think some of our most wounded are our most gracious. But in Pop Psychology Today... Thank you. Yes, I know. In Pop Psychology Today, this is translated almost exclusively into difficulty forming close and healthy connections with romantic partners. But let's say platonic partners, too, because what is love if not friendship,
absolutely.
Man?
Absolutely.
I feel like that's some fucking heteronormative shit right there, trying absolutely. To, like, separate.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Right? I know all relationships can be tended to and nurtured. That's just how it is, including friendships. I think a good friendship is just like a marriage, honestly. You know?
Goes Dude, up the patriarchy and down. Is the one that was like, you know what your most important relationship is? The one with my dick.
The dick one, in case you weren't sure.
Otherwise, it might be like, no, I think your friendships are very important to you. Yeah. Me too, as a man. I also have close friends. That we hold each other. We hug. Well, we have a whole different...
We can talk about anything. I feel so supported and also gives me...
I feel
me,
so safe.
It gives me a break from, you know, leaning on my wife all the time.
You know, I can't believe we've built an entire... Honey, I can't believe that all of society is built on men having no emotional support. That would be insane. Of course.
Sometimes it's a miracle we're doing anything.
And I've spent my whole adolescence practicing how to treat a romantic partner well via my intimate male friendships.
Right. And also cultivating compassion and love for myself, which was modeled to me by my own parents. You know what, though? I think the kids being born now and like the teens now are much more in touch with this kind of stuff. So I'm hoping that like the man who goes to his grave never having felt anything, I hope that is just... extinct, you know, in like 10, 20
Well, it's
years.
Not that they don't feel anything, right? It's that they're so immature, is that they have their emotional self-care, emotional language, intuitive understanding has been so untended that their feelings consume them. So like the most quote unquote unfeeling man is the one who is actually the most succumbed to their feelings.
Oh, see, I was thinking more of like the man who's like has feelings, but does not know how to recognize them or acknowledge them or process them. And then they just,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. And then they just kind of float around in the bloodstream. And then that guy shoots everyone at the post office.
Oh, yeah, that too. Yeah. Anyway, Okay, Hannah, you ready for the piece you were so excited about?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good. Me too. Ready? Sorry. Okay. In this modern study of attachment, there are 4 attachment styles.
Oh, Hannah. 4.
Mm-hmm. Oh, much like there were 6 triangles. Wow. There are 4 attachment styles.
Okay. Well, let's see.
What do you think those 4 attachment styles are?
Muppet style? No, just kidding.
Okay, well, I was curious.
I wish.
Define.
So there's avoidant. I'd say there's secure, which I'm very curious what percentage of the population has a secure attachment style. I'm like, wow, you got it made. And then we have avoidant. And then I feel like there's something more like implies like, anxious. There's anxious style. So we have secure, avoidant, anxious. After that, I guess there's dead inside. I don't know. What's the 4th one?
You are correct. There is secure, avoidant, anxious, and... disorganized.
Oh, I don't think I've heard of that one.
Well, that's why we're here today. Shall I go through what the 4 mean?
Yeah, please do.
Via words coming out of my mouth. Secure attachment is the ideal attachment style. Well, probably. Whatever. Actually, yeah. Okay. Secure attachment is the ideal attachment style needed to enjoy healthy boundaries, fluidity of intimacy and individuation, and social engagement. This is developed by the child having caregivers who are positively attuned to the child, providing a safe haven with consistency and good enough, that's in quotes, care, attention, and affection. Now, this, remember, is not all-encompassing by a long shot, but this means, like, you believe your child is doing a good job, you have positive reinforcement of them, you maintain food, shelter, and safety. Okay? But that kid could still grow up to be a narcissistic asshole. It just means that their attachments are secure. So to point out, like, the, who has secure attachment? I would say a lot. I mean, there's a good chunk of people that do. That doesn't mean that they don't have other things going on.
Oh, for sure, for sure. Well,
does that make sense?
I wonder, like, how, what, you know, all, I wonder what other factors, I'm sure they wouldn't, you know, the psychology community would not say, like, cut and dry, it's your parents, that's it, that's your, how the attachment's formed. I mean,
yeah, they, you know, sure. you could have great parents and just be a fucking dick about it, but, like, feel really secure in your, so secure, in fact, that you're a narcissist. Like, who knows, you know? So, like, this is, like, so don't worry, guys. I promise there's nothing to envy.
Just like North Korea. Sorry, there's a book called Nothing to Envy because that's what the government tells the citizens of North Korea. They have nothing to envy for the whole world ever. Sorry.
You are one of my most, like, you are, thank, dude, I'm like, when I'm in your company, I feel like, yeah. I hang out with cool, smart people.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
Yeah, no, it's
I
very great.
I feel the same way
great.
About you.
Ah, thanks, man. In the avoidant attachment style, caregivers who are emotionally unavailable, insensitive, and even hostile in responding to a child's needs form connections that are a strategy. The child forms a connection that is a coping strategy of disconnection. Avoidantly attached people commonly find their greatest struggle to be a lack of emotion.
Oh.
Your place of safety is also your place of fear. So the closer you may get to someone, the more you want to reject them or find a reason to push them away from you.
Right. And this is so common. I mean, I feel like I just feel like it's so common to hear, like, oh my gosh, it's just so frightening. It's so frightening to develop feelings for someone, or like to see someone have fit, to accept someone's feelings for you and not be like, whoa, that fucking idiot. Why would they want to hang around in this town?
I mean, yeah, I agree. It's I don't want to be a member of any club that will accept me kind of mentality manifest, right? I can't wait. Oh, man, I can't wait for us to take this fucking test. Okay. Next, ambivalence, a.k.a. anxious attachment. Anxiously attached people have had caregivers who were on again and off again, inconsistently tending and attuning to the child. So maybe sometimes, well, I'll keep reading this. So, like, by inconsistently attuning, we mean you ate dinner tonight, but I yelled at you about your schoolwork. Or I didn't care what you did today, said you were great, but I got drunk at dinner time. Like, inconsistent. So it's like even more like, wait, do you love me or not?
Ugh, that seems like the worst one. Like,
whereas avoidant. Avoidant is like, I know you don't love me.
Right.
So, like, let's just stop this. And then anxious is like, oh my God, I think you love me. Do you love me?
Oh God. Yeah, it sounds like, you know, when like someone in your family is an alcoholic or like, and then you're just like, I am always, always, always like an antenna for your mood and what's going on. And I don't want you to freak out. Like, Oh, yeah. So terrible.
So an environment could have had an anxious child that's like, I'm a fucking antenna, and also I wish you loved me because I love you so much. Mm-hmm. But then the avoidant child is like, I don't feel anything for anybody at all, ever, any of these people, you know? And then maybe the secure attached child is like fucking doing fisticuffs with the drunk.
You know, right? Who I think like, kind of secure, who has a secure attachment style, is SpongeBob SquarePants.
Oh, yeah, maybe. I don't know. I'm not familiar with the work. Okay, finally, the last one. Okay, yeah. Here we go. Ready? The last one. Oh, sorry. Let me finish reading the ambivalent or the anxious. Ambivalent/anxious. Because of the lack of consistency, the child doubts whether their needs will be met and is on the constant lookout for cues and clues to how their behavior may or may not influence the parent's response, aka love. Mm-hmm. Boom. Finally, disorganized attachment. A disorganized attachment style results when a caregiver presents double binding messages to children. This is sometimes called paradoxical injunction. Parents create situations for the child that are unsolvable and unwinnable.
Oh my God. What is that? Like what? Like, is that like, I'm using you, my child, as some kind of thing for me to feel something or prove something? Like what is like an example of that?
You know what? I actually think we're gonna find I have an example in my head, I think we have to take this quiz and then tell each other our results.
Okay. Stealing myself
right after this. What a test, am I right?
Oh yeah, I want to go into a small space.
So we took this test, which for our Patreons over at the patreon.com/analyzethis, the link will be posted, which specific attachment test we took. But I think it would be kind of fun to talk about, like, I noted 5 questions that made me be like, brah? So, like, I thought it would be kind of fun to just highlight those questions and then we can reveal our attachment styles and discuss.
Oh, yeah. Sounds good.
Here's an example, just so everybody knows what we're talking about, because I realize now it would probably be advantageous for me to explain the format of the questions. The format of the questions is as such. The first question is, I can keep secrets, protect my partner's privacy, and respect boundaries. Rarely, sometimes, usually. So basically that's the structure of the test is rarely/never, often, or sometimes, and usually/often. Okay. So the first question that gave me pause was, I feel people are essentially good at heart.
Right.
And I was like,
you can be very secure in your attachment and also be like, people are garbage.
I mean, right? But I was just like, well, and like, it was in that feeling that it gave me that I realized that I don't know if I do think that. And so I wrote, I think I put rarely, but I can't remember. But I was like, meh. Rarely, sometimes, like I fell into that one. That one was like, that was a weird one. I feel people are good at heart. Have you met people? And then I was like, Hannah, I think that reveals how you really think. Because I'm like, I don't know a lot of people that put a lot of work into their emotional selves. So what are we talking about? At heart.
And like my question is, I do believe everyone's good at heart. However, well, like what I believe is everyone has great capacity for goodness, but so often people choose not to do that. So like, does that equal the same thing? If like most people consistently choose to be selfish or harmful to others or like bigoted. Like, what does that? Oh, whatever. This is a question for a different time. Anyways,
but that is exactly it. It's that you and I have the same interpretation of the same question and have arrived at different results. Crazy, right? Okay, what was one? What was a question that stuck out on your mind? And there are lots of questions here, guys. There are way too many for us to go through them one by one. So, for our Patreons, there's a link to the quiz, et cetera, et cetera. But okay, Hannah, hit me. Hit me with one of yours.
One of the statements is, protection often feels out of reach, which I thought was just so wild. Like, first of all, what does that mean? Like, protection from what? And then I was like, oh no, I must be so damaged or something, because I was like maybe someone who is very secure, it's like, oh yes, of course, I know what that means. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm like Sansa in season 6 of Game of Thrones. She's like, no one can protect anyone. I'm like, yeah, we're not gonna have water. I could get hit by a bus tomorrow. Like, what?
So protection often feels out of reach.
I put hella. That was my...
You rarely, sometimes, and usually.
I put usually.
You put usually. Yeah, word. Totes. Mm-hmm. Okay. These ones that stick out in our minds, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. One that stuck out for me was, I chronically second guess myself and sometimes wish I had said something differently.
Oh, one stuck out for me too.
Good. Oh, we can cross it out because we both got it. Yeah. Or like, we can be like, yeah. Yeah, dude. Because I was like, how can you say I chronically do something sometimes? I chronically second guess myself and sometimes wish I had said things differently. I chronically second guess myself and... Oh, wait, no, but it's not always that I do think I do. Oh, okay, I get it. Oh, never mind. Yeah. I wrote all the time. Yeah, of course. No, who wouldn't?
I think I put sometimes or often for that one. I was like, well, because...
A thinking man
even if I don't do it, I think I can do it chronically in a session of being with someone. And then in the next time I'm with someone, I could be out of that mode. So it's like, it's not like that happens every time I'm with someone close, but I can have an experience where I cannot stop doubting myself the entire time that I'm with somebody.
Interesting.
You know?
Wow. Yeah. No, I didn't even think about with people.
Oh, well, this is an attachment style quiz. So, oh, my friend.
I was like, okay. Okay, your turn.
So this one I found kind of frustrating. It is easier for me to think things through than to express myself emotionally. Because I feel like I can express myself pretty clearly and I'm pretty good at knowing what I'm feeling. However, I do also overthink how to say it. First, I'm like, well, wait, why am I feeling that? Do I actually feel that? Am I wrong to feel that? Like, blah, 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 blah.
Dude.
So yeah. So I think that was like a sometimes for me. Because I was like, well, I do overthink everything. And I take like 6 years. I'm like, hey, do you remember that one time we were at Applebee's? And... you made that joke, and then I was like, actually, it was really hurt my feelings.
Yeah. No, I put usually, because I realized that I only ever express myself emotionally after having thought it through to the end of itself. So if I'm feeling emotional, I don't express anything because I'm like, And when I'm feeling emotional, I feel scared of myself, you know, because it's so like big, you know? So I'm like, I'm going to have to really think through how to convey this so I don't just fucking die, you know? Interesting.
So I feel like to some extent, we both like, we're like, I feel something. And then we're like, let's bring it up to the head. And then just
exactly. And that's what I said. But dude, that has literally been my goal in my work with my therapist. When the very first session I had with this person, I think we hit our 1 year anniversary or right before the pandemic started, but like, so, oh my God, we're almost at two. Really positive work. I said the very first session I walk in, fucking bleached hair, just like so fit, so like just covered in like money. And I sit down. No, I'm dead serious, dude. Like so fancy, so like I'm on it. And this is 2019. I'm like, what up? I'm, you know, blah. And I sit down and I go, I would like to feel something below my neck.
Ah, wow. Well done.
That's my goal for our work together, is that I want to be able to feel what's happening below my throat. I want my heart to get a chance to come to my throat, to come out my voice.
I'm just nodding because this is such an important statement.
And she was like, okay, fancy. And I was like, mm-hmm. You know, but yeah, no, it's just, honestly, like, yeah, it's finding, dude, I can't say it enough. You find, I don't know. It's really healing work. It's crazy. It feels like magic. Yeah. But I'm just like, okay, cool. It's not magic. I just am with someone who's helping me because I gave up the belief that I was the thing that wasn't working.
Oh, well, thank God for that.
Yeah. Okay. Short one. This is really short. My next one is really short. Okay. I just wrote exaggerated startle. So let me look up what the word startle is. Okay. I have an exaggerated startle response when others approach me unexpectedly. I was like, what do you think startle is? So then I wrote usually.
I was kind of like, huh? I just pictured, like, you know, you're like at a coffee shop, like reading a book, and someone's like, hello. You're like, what? Like, what are you talking to me? But I think that was actually like a not often for me, because I.
For me, if I get startled, I leave my body, because I'll be like, whoa. But then I'm like, who can say where the road goes?
You're like Doctor Strange being shoved out of his body.
Yeah, literally. Yeah, that's why. And like, I remember when Ella and I first started. Like, we have Ella loves to do jump scares.
Oh my God!
You remember this, right? In the beginning of our relationship, Ella did like a jump scare in our apartment, and I was like, I like took her and I sat her down. I was like, you can never do that again. You cannot scare me in my home. I know, but I'm not there. And it's still true today. I'm just not, you can't scare me. You just can't do it. Like, Ella could come up to me on the stream and like, she startles me and I'm like, Jesus, fuck. But I can get grounded really fast, you know? Uh-huh. But like, it's just not my kind of prank, man. It'll really fuck me up.
No. And also, it's so hard for me to see how that means I love you.
But like straight up, Hannah, I scare Ella all the time. She loves it. She giggles like a baby. She loves it.
She likes me.
She loves it.
Wow. Oh, God. And I'm like.
She loves it. She's like, Hannah, I know you're here. And I'm like hiding behind a door and I'm like, and like, if I get it, it's like playing it's more like, from her perspective, it's like we're playing a game together suddenly. And the game is, I'm going to get you. You ever like, you know, it's like, I'm going to get you, you know?
Gosh, I guess I don't like that feeling of something's coming. I don't know when.
Yeah.
Unless it's like, my kind of prank is like, I'm going to fill your dresser with rainbow poofy balls, you know? So when you open them, you'll be like,
oh, yay.
But, see,
if you filled my dresser rainbow poofy balls, I would be like, who touched my dresser?
You'd be like, look at all of this shit that I now have to clean up.
Not even. I'd be like, why did someone touch my stuff? But like, or like, not even. Let's not even talk about it. That's how upsetting the plot is.
Oh, goodness. Okay. Well, good thing I
know. I mean, because like, I know.
Be
oh,
like,
God.
Oh, so you touched my things. Just like, do you want to like, I don't know, maybe cut off all my hair next?
Yeah. Some, maybe. Okay. So that was my next one. Okay.
The next one for me was, I find myself minimizing the importance of close relationships. And
I remember that question, but I also felt it easy to answer.
It really brought up a lot because I've been struggling really for the past like 4 or 5 years, I feel, to, it's just so hard for me to, it's so hard to figure out what is me acting out like trauma and what is not healthy and what is my choice, like, because for so long, mm-hmm. like, for example, I was like not dating, and I still have this belief that I don't have to fucking date if I don't want to. I could be single for the rest of my life and that's fine. And like, but there is like part of me that's like, oh, that's because you're such a that's not okay. That's like, that's just coming from wounds. But I also feel like it's kind of political because, hi, have you had a relationship inside of our toxic rape culture? It's not like, it's like people always talk like.
But also like asexuality, pansexuality, right. Periods of asexuality, like everything. I mean, this is a flow and a spectrum and a never ending cycle. Like if you're feeling torn between identifying what is action versus reaction, manifesting the tools that you can trust to identify it is only half the battle because the other half is accepting the truth you identify. So like there's work in figuring out, is this action or reaction? Am I reacting or am I acting? Am I choosing this? And then you go through your checks and balances and then it could be like reaction or action. And then you're like, like that whole second half is the acceptance half,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
which is,
well, I guess, yeah, that's not, I'm not a, like, if I was just like, I don't have the whatever in this moment. I feel like I don't have the conviction or like the strength of self to be like, why not? Yes, absolutely. I accept that about myself that I could just,
but maybe it's, I mean, but yeah, that's a huge fucking deal, dude. People stay closeted their entire lives. Mm. Like, that's a huge fucking deal. Yeah. We literally, like, Hannah, we're in our 30s, aka fighting for our lives, our internal worlds. This is when we, and I'm so happy to know that there are lots of people in their 20s listening to this, because what you're learning right now and what you're loving about yourself, your 30s are basically trying to assess how much of yourself you can keep and physically survive society.
Right. That takes a while.
And it's not very romantic, is it?
No, not at all. Not at all.
So if there are things about yourself you could not accept in your 20s, they will manifest in your 30s. And your 30s are like this, like, really like guillotine, like it's really an intense crossroads, I feel like. But you know what? And your 40s and your 50s and your 60s and then you're dead.
Oh, totally. You know,
Well, my mom always said, so long as you're breathing, anything is possible. And my experience of my 30s is that I feel like I walked up to the edge of my own cliff and I had a choice, which was numb out forever, force yourself to break your boundaries for the rest of your life, or just fucking stop and back up. Your 20s were good. Go backwards.
Right. I mean, actually, I would say if it's like it's a gift to be doing it in your 30s, because usually if you're not, that means you're doing it in your 40s for the first time. Or some people
still
just
valuable. Still valuable, oh, for those, God, of us who are in their 40s listening to this podcast. Still valuable. Never give up.
Of course.
Never, never, never give up. Should we do it? Should we reveal our attachment?
Oh, let's do it. I almost forgot about that part. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Okay. To recap, the four attachment styles are secure.
The ideal, quote unquote.
Yeah, fucking whatever that means. Avoidant slash dismissive, ambivalent slash anxious, and disorganized.
So 37% is secure. So that's like a third of the pie is secure.
Okay.
A third of the pie is secure. Another third is ambivalent, anxious, disorganized.
Okay.
And then the other third is avoidant, dismissive. So my buddy, what were the results of your test?
Well, I am predominantly disorganized, but I'm equal parts secure, avoidant, and ambivalent. So, for me, my interpretation of this, because it is really hard to swallow, you know, because my fear is that by having a disorganized attachment style, you know, because when I was looking at the questions, I really tried to answer them like my gut reaction. Mm-hmm. What's my gut reaction versus mm-hmm. what do I choose or how do I cope or blah, blah, blah. And like immediately, like I immediately go from gut to coping mm-hmm. so fast. Mm-hmm. So it takes a second. But I answered like gut, like pre-cope, premeditated. How does it feel? I feel this. How does it feel? I feel this. Not my I feel this. I do this because I live my life in I do this. So I tried to really answer these questions. I feel this. I do this. I tried to answer them in the I feel this place.
Right.
And that's why I think my results are disorganized. but then also funnel, like it makes me laugh because this is probably why my full disclosure, listeners, I had to fully stop. It's now an hour later from when you thought it was. I had to fully stop. But this is my, and this is like, I think pretty useful information. Ultimately, this is why my therapist said to me that they don't know if attachment theory is a helpful practice for me because I'm already working so hard to manifest the life I want to leave behind. That seeing how disorganized my attachment style is wasn't helpful for me because I want to leave a different life behind. I want to raise, well, we're not having kids, but like if I had kids or like, well, with my community, right? Mm-hmm. I want to manifest a healthy, avoidant, ambivalent, whatever, anxious, secure. I want to manifest different attachments, you know? So this is heavy stuff.
Yeah. And I'm also kind of like, I don't, what, yeah, was this helpful for me? Like, or did it only make me feel bad about myself? I mean, I suppose if you never give any thought to the things that happen in your mind and heart, you might be like, oh, whoa, but yeah.
Actually, that's exactly a great point. So for the Analyze This listeners, IDK about attachment style. And if you have a friend who like maybe has never thought about any feelings versus reactions versus actions, send it their way. See what they're all about. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, it's yeah. And this is, you know, when Ella was in treatment, she read the book Attached. That was part of her work in treatment, was to talk about attachment styles, to understand like, you know, because if you have bipolar disorder, if you have a mood disorder and you have anxious, avoidant, secure, disorganized, whatever, everything's just turned up in saturation, right? So they're like, we're going to read about attachment styles. And the majority of people have anxious attachment. That is the majority. That's the number one attachment style is anxious. And so if you have a mood disorder or personality disorder, it's turning up the saturation on that. You know? So it is interesting information. And if you're someone, if it is interesting information and it does not change your goals, I am not going to look at my results and think that
you're so much more than those results.
That's right. And my core is my core, but I get to reveal it, you know? And I'm proud of myself for answering really deeply, honestly. And I can't wait to talk to my therapist next week and say, well, I get why you didn't want me to see that, because it would be so upsetting, obviously. You know? And I'm really glad I looked at it. I saw it today instead of last year, because I think I would have been like, well, I don't, who cares? Who fucking cares? Long story short, this is a lot to process. And I am in the acceptance half. It falls into the, it won't ever feel different, but you can always do different to yourself, towards others. But it sucks, man.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah, my friend. I just want to emphasize for everybody out there, when we discuss these kinds of very heavy topics, a lot of stuff can come up, and it's very important to be kind and gentle with yourself as much as you can.
Even if you don't think you deserve it. Even if you don't think there's any point to. Even if you don't know what kindness feels like. If you can't understand what it is to comfort yourself, then what I've been told is to just move slowly. If you don't have an idea of what comfort feels like, just move slowly. Slow down. Slow all the way down. Drink a glass of water. Your comfort doesn't have to be anybody else's. It just, sometimes comfort is the ability to have the privacy to slow down. IMHO, in my humble opinion, in my honest opinion, you know? I mean, who knows, Gelby, we saved a life today.
I do not doubt it.
I do not doubt it either.
Yeah, man. I wish we could, you know, I feel like you've said so many just very beautiful, elegant, eloquent, real things. And I was like, I wish we could kind of just fade without doing our like, oh, goodbye!
Hey, but you know what the best part is? We can totally, totally just fade into our little music.
That's right. We don't have to end it the same way every time.
Your life is what you make it. Mm-hmm. But, like, just FYI, you don't get to change the ingredients.
Here we go again.
Yeah, I like it. Okay, great. Thanks for listening. Bye.